Wow, what an honor and a privilege to be able to stand with God's Word before my friends, my church family. Amen. God's still good today as He was yesterday, and He always will be. There's nothing bad about God. All things that come from Him are good and good for us. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. I've prayed much, and I believe this is where the Lord would have us to be. We'll be in Revelation chapter 3. I will read some out of Revelation chapter 1. But I guess reason being is I've been teaching Sunday school in the book of 2 Timothy, and I just can't get out of there yet. We're still stuck there at talking about the last days, and we're living in the last days, and the church is still in Jesus Christ. That's what we are, the body of Christ. And I thank God that's where we are. Our position is in Him. But the religious church, if you would, as the pastor was just mentioning, they've got all kind of religions and join all kind of churches, but them folks is in trouble. Them folks is in trouble. And I believe a lot of church folks are in trouble that are actually saved folks, because Revelation 3 here was penned down by John, the words of Jesus Christ, and it's to us. So it's important. I'm going to read, if you would, stand, and I'm going to read Revelation 1, just a few verses, because it pertains to these seven letters. And we're not going to cover all these seven letters to all seven churches. I may give you a little point out of each one just to try and help you tonight. I'm here to encourage you, amen? I don't want to skin you. If there's rebuke involved, it comes from the Word of God. It's good for you, amen? It's good for you to realize your spiritual condition, amen? All of us. Just because you come to church 3 days a week don't mean you're always right and perfect with God. We all need Him every day. I need the Lord. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bared record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things he saw. Listen at verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Lord, I pray you'd help me just for a few minutes' time here. Lord God, you know I've studied and prayed, but that means absolutely nothing without your touch. Lord God, I need your help. I pray you'd help me to be a blessing to these folks, that we might receive something from you tonight, Lord. Each one of us standing in need, and you know that need. We'll thank you and praise you. To God be the glory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So see, John starts out here in Revelation 1. The Lord had sent an angel to him and told him to write these things down in these letters to the seven churches. And it says there in verse 3 that you're blessed if you read it and you're blessed if you hear it. There ain't nothing wrong with the Word of God. Never has been, never will be. It will help you to read your Bible every day. Every day. I get so absolutely disgusted sometimes when I'm on my job. I go over at lunch, and my boss knows I do it, and some of the men around there know I do it. I sit down, and I pray, and I eat my lunch, and I open the Word of God, and I start reading, and somebody will come over there to... Let me take... The devil will send somebody over there to pester me. Amen. I'll have to stop and get, and you know, but it's still, I'm getting something that I need. I got something yesterday sitting there just reading a little bit, and it was out of the book of Psalms, and just saw the sunrise that morning, and it said over there in Psalms 113 that we'll praise Him from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same. And I thought, man, if we could just do that, if we could just grasp hold of that, and praise Him from daylight to dark. It's okay when you're sleeping, you know. You can't praise Him while you're sleeping. But if you go to bed and you got the Lord and His Word upon your mind and upon your heart, I promise you have a good night's rest. You will, to help you sleep better. But I thought this pertaining here, these letters he wrote, and they're important. They're letters to each church. These were seven churches. Churches like this church is, but there are also seven different church ages. And I just hit a few points. The first church was Ephesus, and that was a careless church, if you would. They were careless because they allowed some things to happen. And it says here, he said, I know thy works. I'm reading verse 2 just to let you know where I'm at. And thy labor and thy patience. The Lord knows what we all doing. He knows how we serve him. He knows the things we do. He said, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and they are not, and hast found them liars. I was watching some at TV preaching the other night, and just to see what's going on and what some of these preachers is preaching nowadays. You got to be careful what you listen to. It says here, this is the letter to the first church, the early church. He said, those in that church, they tried them folks and knowed what they was about. If you read enough of the truth and take enough of the truth into you, you'll know when it's a lie. It says right there, they found them liars, and they run them out of church. If we could do that more often, the churches would be in much better shape today. They would be stronger in the Lord. This church don't have a problem with that. Most of the folks that didn't want to accept the truth and see themselves and the spiritual condition where we're going with this that they were in, left. Amen. I'm just being honest with you tonight. You're here because you know the truth, and the truth has set you free. Amen. I like that. I love it. That's a careless church because, nevertheless, verse 4 says, I have somewhat against thee because they had left their first love. They left their first love, which is Jesus Christ. They kind of left their first love. They got away from it. We need to keep our eyes on him. On Jesus. All this other stuff going on, it don't matter. You can turn the television on, and I'm bad to watch those news programs simply because I like to know what's going on in the world. I watch the Israel news, I watch Fox News Channel, but if you watch that a little too long, you'll get consumed with it, and you'll get troublesome by it. And then if you'll just stop and think, it don't mean nothing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's coming back. I wanted to read chapter 4, verse 1 first before I started this, but Lord had me read that first because it talks about being in heaven. It says, after this I looked up, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. We know that's referring to the rapture of the church. And see, this is after these letters. Now remember, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Well, if we could just stay there all the time, in the Spirit. Sometimes we just ain't there. Amen? We just ain't there. And when you're in the Spirit, you can feel it. It said, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. He's still on the throne. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Brother Todd, you're sick tonight, you're feeling bad, you're still here because he's still on the throne. Amen. I'm so glad that he's in charge of what's going on in this world. Amen. We don't have to worry about it. There may be some things happen in our lifetime, if the Lord tarries, that we will be surprised to see happen. Some things are happening right now that it'll just blow your mind if you look at them, how they're taking folks over there in Saudi Arabia and Turkey and Afghanistan and they're killing them for being a Christian. It don't happen around here. We don't see that, but we can hear it. I thought of the verse of Scripture over there in the book of Lamentations. I believe it's chapter 3, around about 50 or somewhere now where Jeremiah was writing after all the preaching he did to the children of Israel there and how he told them they needed to repent and get right with God. And he preached his heart out, and he threw him in a dungeon and all that stuff that happened to him. He said he'd get to think about it, and his eyes would just trickle down and start watering. He would weep. They called him a weeping prophet. And he says, mine eye affecteth my heart. It does you too. Your eye affects your heart daily. What you see is not always what you get. A lot of times what you hear is not true. If it don't line up with this book, it's not true. It's not truth. Your eye, you know these TV commercials they show, and they show the little kids that are starving. That affects your heart. Abigail likes the ones they show of the little puppies and kittens, and you know they're wanting to find them a home, but it shows them looking all sad. And then she says, "Oh, Papa," because, you know, they're sad. Your eye will affect your heart. And we need to open our eyes and see what's going on. Let's just get into chapter 3. And unto the angel, verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He's still the Amen today. He's still the truth. He's a faithful and true witness. If you're going to count on somebody, count on Jesus. Amen. I believe the books, Psalms over there, 118 says that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Don't trust Brother Keith. I mean, I love y'all and y'all love me. You know that, and you can pretty much count on what I say. But if you put your faith and trust in me, you've got nothing. Same way with our pastor. I mean, I love him and I trust him. But you've got to put your trust in the Lord. Amen. You can count on He's faithful and true. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake. He starts out with that. He says, this letter is written to us. This is the Laodicean church age. The last church age. Lado, that word Lado, it means a people. If you go a little further and dig a little deeper in that Greek and Hebrew stuff, it means a judged people. We're going to be judged. The church right now is not facing, if you would say, the wrath of God, but it's facing somewhat the judgment of God. This country, the United States of America, if they don't watch out, is going to face the judgment of God pretty soon, forsaking Israel, turning their back on Israel. It could really hurt us. And pray about that. Pray about these things. Don't get consumed with them, but pray about them. He says, "I know thy works." He says that to every church. "I know thy works. I know thy works." God knows what we're doing, but he don't base it on our works. Your works has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation tonight. It's good that we do work after we're saved, good works, and that's where it comes from. But your works mean absolutely nothing. I think sometimes that when we stand before God and we're proud and full of pride because of things we've done, those are the ones that's going to burn up. You know, you didn't have your heart right when you did them anyway, probably. But, you know, he says, "I know thy works." I'm glad I know his work. He bled and died on the cross that we might be saved. As I was praying last night as I read some more of this and studied about it, and I got to thinking, Lord, just speak to me a little bit. And in my prayer closet, I got thinking about that psalm again. Jesus spoke to me. And he gave me this thought, and I'm not going to preach from it, but I just wanted to share it with you. He said that he didn't die on the cross that we might have the opportunity to make a choice to serve him or be saved. He died on him that we might have the ability to choose that. Think about that. Amen. And we have made that choice as Christians. But he says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." He says, "I would that thou wert cold or hot." The church is in that shape today. It is, absolutely. I mean, you go back to the first church, they were hot. The church right before this, the Philadelphian church age, that's when all the great revivals took place back in the 18 and early 1900s. And all those great men of God were preaching those big revivals, and there'd be hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of people get saved. We don't see that anymore. Why? We ain't hot. We ain't hot. Our eyes affected our heart. It's talking about the windows down there. They look good, and that makes you feel good, and thank God that they're fixed. And you look at something, and it looks good on the outside. But what's going on the inside? What's your spiritual condition tonight? He says, "I would that thou were cold or hot." You know, if something's hot and you know it's hot, You don't touch it. It'll burn you. Think about that. If you got a boiling pot of water on the stove, you don't walk up and pick it up without a handle or a pot holder, you'll know you'll get burned. Amen. If somebody's hot, if somebody's fired up for the Lord, you best leave them folks alone. Amen. I heard a preacher one night saying, I'm so full of the Holy Ghost, you might not want to sit next to me tonight. I might get up. You know, and I like to be around folks like that. Have a good spirit all the time. They lift you up. They help you. It might not be just preaching. It might just be being around them on your job. Somebody who loves the Lord and shares thoughts with you, shares scriptures with you. These couple guys that come by where I work, they'll do that. But you can tell they're hot. They've not got cold. But we're not going to deal with cold. We're going to deal with... See, if you're hot, you know you're hot. You know something's hot. The problem being that when you're cold, you know you're cold too. If something's cold, you know it's cold. If it's 20 degrees outside, you know it's cold. You put on a jacket. Somebody who's cold on the Lord, they know they're cold. You know you're spiritual. You know you're away from God. It's usually because of yourself or because of sin. Two things. And Satan's behind them both. Amen. He always is. That's his same old bag of tricks. If something's hot, but he says, verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm. Lukewarm is simply a mixture of hot and cold. See, when something's hot and you put cold water in it, it gets lukewarm. Any of y'all like warm coffee? My wife drinks that cold coffee sometimes. I think she's away from God when she does that. But I don't know why they come up with that iced coffee. Man, that's nasty. I mean, some of you may not like it. It's your taste, your preference, I know. But lukewarmness. Lukewarmness, remember mixing hot with cold. The church was on fire in the Philadelphia age, right here before this letter was written. And this letter is important to us. We need to understand these things. It'll help you. Something come in to the church, Pastor, and cooled it down. It's the world. Worldliness. When worldliness comes into the church, it puts a fire out. It cools it down. We don't have that problem here. I'm getting to some rebuke and some chastening, and but we need to know what's going on. Why is this church not full? Because it's hot. Folks don't like to hear the truth. They get upset when the pastor preaches on something that they're into, and they get mad and won't come back for a week or two. They need that. Amen. I need it. I need it. You need it. We all need it. We need to get hot again. We need to get hot. There's one way to do that is through repentance, you know. He said, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither, verse 16, cold nor hot. Now this is the Lord speaking. I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's what Jesus thinks about these churches today. That some of you's got friends that go to them. I do. I know how they are. I know how they live. Jesus says, you make me sick. That's what he said. When you drink something lukewarm, it makes you sick. And I didn't even know this was on internet tonight. Maybe somebody there will get some help from it. It makes him sick, Pastor. It makes him sick for us not to be holy and righteous and praise him and give him glory and worship him in spirit and truth. Come in here like a bunch of dead heads and sit around and not do nothing, not raise your hands and praise the Lord, not say amen, not do those things that we should do in the house of God, but bring the world into the church and cool it down. That's what happens. These big mega churches, it's all around. Sure, they do all that stuff, but it's entertainment. That's all it is entertainment. It's eye-pleasing. You remember what I said earlier out of the book of Lamentations? Mine eye affecteth my heart. They see something that looks exciting, makes them feel good, attracts them, and there they go. Right to it. They flock to it. That's why they're all full. It's like a carnival. I remember going to a carnival when I was a little kid with my dad. He's over there in The old fairgrounds used to be here in Gainesville. And you get out of the car, there's an old dirt parking lot. I believe there's an old cattle barn over there. Then they had the cow sale. And as soon as we got out of the car, you could smell that popcorn and cotton candy. And I looked up, and I see them big Ferris wheels and them slangy rides and all them lights. Man, that attracted me. It got me excited. I wanted to get in there. That's the way they do. Jesus said it makes him sick. He don't want none of that in church. That stuff don't belong in church. We bring too much stuff in that don't belong.
Right.
We bring too much stuff in that don't belong. Amen. Come in and worship him in spirit and truth. That's all he wants you to do. Amen. That's all he wants you to do. Too many of us don't realize what condition we're actually in. Some of you, I love you, and I know y'all love me just as much, but if you putting on a show just to look good and feel good and put on that happy face, I've had to do it before. And things going on in your life, and you get all caught up in that mess, and you're discouraged, you're disgruntled, you're not right with God even, and you still put on that happy face and come to church. Well, some folks put on a sad face and come to church. Amen. Hey, you ought to leave feeling better than you did when you come in. You ought to. Amen. I'm just trying to help. You ought to leave. He says, you make me sick. He said, listen, this is the kind of condition, verse 17, that they thought they were in. This is where they said they were at. And this is where a lot of folks say they're at today. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They think they're okay. They think, Brother Todd, they think they're okay. Just because they read their Bible sometimes and they come to church 3 times a week and they give their tithes and they even give a little missions offering every now and then and they stand up and they sing. And they sit back down and they listen to the message and try not to fall asleep. And they think they're pretty faithful folks. Remember, he's writing this to the church. They put on a good show to make everybody else see them and think they're okay. Their eyes affected their heart. They're putting on that show and looking good, and they say, I'm okay, I don't need nothing. The lukewarmness there is applying these folks because they're comfortable. Comfortable. I don't like to be comfortable. I'm not comfortable right now at all. I know, and I get that way a lot of times when I preach. That's why I move around. I can't stand still. I remember when we first started this internet stuff, Brother Darrell told me, you got to stand still. You got to be right here. The camera can't move. That don't bother me. Amen. If I'm going to walk down there, I'm like you. I'm going to walk down there. If I run around through there, I'm going to run around through there. It don't matter. But they get comfortable. That's the worst thing you can do, is get comfortable in your spiritual condition. There's some things that hurt you. You get comfortable on your job at work, you get hurt. I got comfortable on my job down at SKF working on them machines one time. And I was working on there, and them turning machines, they had tooling ends that would run in and cutting tools on them that would cut that tubing into bearing rings. And I got comfortable, and I was reaching in there doing something, and you're supposed to shut the machine off anytime you do something. And I got a little comfortable, and I thought, well, I can reach in there and do that while it's running. And it about cut my finger off. Oh, Jack Hicks, Brother Jack, he got comfortable. He was doing almost the same thing. He was setting one of them up, and he was comfortable. He'd been doing it for 25 years. Then, at that time, he's retired from down there now. He reached in there to adjust a little pickoff thing that went out and right up against the part, and it caught the part when it fell off and brought it back and dropped it in the tray. I was on the machine beside him, and he got comfortable with what he was doing. And I heard him say, Key. And I run around there, and that thing had run out and caught his arm, and he was hanging in that machine. Couldn't get out. I had to reverse the machine. He couldn't reach the controls. They was over here and back it out. He got comfortable. If you get comfortable in your spiritual condition, you'll get hurt. You'll get hurt. You'll get hurt. You'll get away from God and it'll hurt you spiritually. Don't get comfortable. If you're not a better Christian today than you was this time last year, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I pray I get better every day. I do. Pastor, I pray, Lord, help me be a better Christian. And I know I'm not a good one. I'm a Christian, but be better today than I was yesterday. We all got room for that growth. Every day, every day. Everybody in here probably said something or thought something today that they're ashamed of. They've already repented of. I hope you have. But he says, thou sayest that I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not. Now, see, the Lord let them go ahead and tell him how he thought they was, just like he does us. He lets you go ahead and think you okay. He lets you go ahead and put on that happy face and look good. But then he comes a time when he goes ahead and tells you how you really are. That's what we need sometimes. I believe the book of Timothy says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's good for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. So he's giving you his word here to help you. He said you might think you're okay, but you need to examine yourself and see really where your spiritual condition is. Mine needs to improve. It does. I'm just being honest. My spiritual condition needs to improve. Because sometimes I feel I'm not where I should be. And ain't none of us. None of us are where we should be. I believe he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Is any of you holy tonight? Do you feel real holy? Oh, man. Hey, I had a bad day at work. I uncovered some things today in an old car taking it apart. And I've got a lot of work to do on it. It made me... At my moment in my flesh, when I saw what I had to do, I kind of felt unholy for a few minutes. But amen, it's just part of life. It's part of things we have to do. But we need to examine yourself daily. And God just tells him here, he says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not, this is where you're really at, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wow. That kind of puts it in perspective, don't it? James, you think you're okay? That ain't what he says. I called your name because I know you understand. We ain't always where we should be. And even though we think we don't need nothing, he says we're really wretched. We're really wretched. We think we're okay, we're living high on a hog, but really we're living in a little mud shack down at the end of a dirt road. You know what I'm saying? We think we're good because we done got comfortable with where we're at. We don't think we need to grow in the Lord no more. We don't think if I just miss reading my Bible tonight, I'll be okay. I'll read a little more tomorrow. No, that don't work like that. You miss it, it's kind of like a... putting money in your savings account. If you miss putting it in there, you never catch it back up. It's like paying your tithes. I've heard people say that before. Well, I won't pay it this week. I'll double up next week and catch up. Well, that ain't going to happen, you know. Amen. Hey, take care of the things that pertain to God and His kingdom. You're supposed to pray, pray. Don't put it off. Well, I'll pray later. I'm guilty of it. I sit there at the house sometimes and think, well, I'll pray after Abigail goes to sleep or after Sheila goes to sleep. I'll have my time alone with the Lord. And if I don't get up and go ahead and do it then, Brother Todd, I forget all about it sometimes. I like to have that set time that I pray, morning, noon, and night. It do you better pray. He said, you're poor and you're wretched and you're miserable and blind and naked. He gives them now here, and I wrote this down in my notes. I didn't use them notes. I didn't need them. He says, he gives them three things here, and I'm certainly thankful for these things from verse 18 down that God gives us as Christians that help us. And you're not going to like them. Number one is convictions. And number two is correction. But number three is counsel. And the Lord uses counsel here first because He is the wonderful counselor. Amen. If you need some help with something, don't call your brother or your mother or one of your friends. You need to call upon the Lord. I mean, it's good to get advice from folks. I do it all the time about things pertaining to what's going on in my life, or if I'm doing something on my job and I don't know how exactly I want to go about it, I might talk to somebody who's done that before and get advice. But when it comes to spiritual matters, you're not going to get help from Dr. Phil or Oprah or any of these self-help books. It ain't going to happen. You're going to have to get it from the Word of God. And that's where I got this message at, because the Lord counseled me on some things that were going on. And it kind of allowed me, if you would, to see. My eye affected my heart. It made me see some things a little different than I did see them before I received that counsel. And God told him here, He said, you think you're okay, but you're really not. You used to be hot, and now you're not cold. You hadn't just plumb quit on God. If you did, you'd know it. You wouldn't be sitting here tonight. But you've got to a place, Brother Chris, that you think everything's okay and you ain't got to do nothing else. And I'll put my name down on the grass cutting list just because everybody else did. And I'll go over and do it just to help out. Hey, I thought that way before. But really, that's not the problem. It has nothing to do with all that. It has to do with your spiritual condition. You're not completely cold. You've not quit. You've gotten lukewarm. If you ain't been there, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you may be there right now. I've been there. If you're there right now, this will help. He says, I counsel thee. Get that counsel from God. Aren't you glad that he has that counsel? Whether you're right or whether you're wrong, whether it's something good or something bad, he's still the one that's going to fix it. If it's broken, he can fix it. He'll give you the help. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Being rich in the Lord is important. And that's not talking about material things. Rich spiritually. Spiritually. I believe over there in the book of Luke, the man that built the barns to store all his crops that the Lord blessed him with, that he grew, and he got down there to the end. The Lord said that thou that is rich in earthly things is not rich in the Lord. Is not. You get all these things built up in your life and things that you think's helping you, but you're not rich in the Lord. You're not rich in Him. You're not rich spiritually. You're not growing. You're not maturing spiritually. He says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich. Gold tried in the fire. His word is like gold tried in the fire. It's where you're going to get your help from. God's word. It'll keep you clean. It'll keep you right with Him. He says, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. This place here, Laodicea, and I did some research on it a little bit, and it said that they had that eye salve there, and they also had springs that had lukewarm water in them, that people, if you drank it, it made you nausea. I guess the Lord had John pin this down because they kind of knew what was going on in their area, and it they could relate to it. But he was telling that church, you're in trouble. You're getting lukewarm. And that eye salve you put on your eyes to help you see. I remember when I was a child, my eyes would matter over. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some children do that. And Mom would take a warm washcloth before I'd go to school. This is when I was just in elementary school. And she'd get that washcloth and she'd put it on my eyes and let it break that matter loose where I could open my eyes good and see. And I still got problems seeing. Glasses, and still got old age, I guess, now. But, hey, she helped me. She gave me something and put something upon my eyes that I could see. And I relate to that is because it was my mother who loved me and cared for me. You know, Jesus, when he touched a blind man's eyes and he saw that one man, he actually took some mud and rolled it up in a ball and spit in it and put it on his eyes, and he saw. Amen. But you think about those things. It's somebody who loved you and cared for you enough to take a few minutes to help you that way. If Mom didn't care nothing about me being able to see, she wouldn't have did that. If Jesus didn't care nothing about you, give you this counsel that's here in His Word, He wouldn't care. But He loves us. He says that I save that thou mayest be able to see. The salve and the opening of your eyes is the indwelling of the Spirit in you, I believe, too, that helps you see things. If you're living in the flesh and walking by the flesh, you're just going to not see things the way you should. That's why we look around at church today and say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. There is something wrong with that. There's something wrong with all this stuff going on. And if we don't say something about it, it's going to wax worse and worse. We're not going to fix it. Only He can fix it. That stuff upsets me. Brother James, I get aggravated with it. And I know y'all do too. But we got to stand up and take a stand and trust in the Lord and believe in Him for these things. He said, verse 19, and that's where I wanted to get to, and I'll shut up. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He loves us, so He rebukes us. I looked up a verse over here in Proverbs. Let me turn over here. I don't want to misquote it. It's Proverbs 3. You can flip over if you want to. Verse 11. Proverbs written by Solomon. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Any of you been chastened lately about something? Hey, I have. And you know, Brother Chris, I used to think, well, what's wrong? Why are you chasing me about that, Lord? But he says here, despise it not. Why? Because you know you want to hear us when He's doing that. He loves you. It don't have to be sin He's chasing you about. He can chase you about something that you're actually going the wrong way in, but you haven't got there yet. It could be a temptation. It could even be a trial. There's a difference there. Temptations and trials are different things. But he says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. Don't get tired of it. If God quits dealing with you, you need to start worrying. Amen? I heard the pastor one time say that if you hadn't got a reason to come up to the altar and pray, that's a reason you ought to come up to the altar and pray. That was good. That helped me because I always try to get up and go pray. And you ought to, too. Whether you got something that you need to pray about or not, get on up here, and He'll give you something to pray about. That's the reason. If God's not dealing with you, there's a reason He's not dealing with you. And chastening is for correction, I know, but He says, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. For whom He loves, aren't you glad He says there that rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Proverbs 19 and 20 says, hear counsel and receive instruction. Hear His counsel, receive His instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. That's where we get messed up at. There's many devices inside of us. It says, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You can count on it. When God lets you know something's wrong, you can count on it being wrong. I mean, you don't have to doubt that. You don't have to doubt God. God dealing with your heart. You don't have to count that being wrong. It says, I also looked at Proverbs 1 and 24. It says, I've called and you refused. Stretched out my hands and no man regarded. Ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Folks don't like to hear this kind of preaching. They don't like to want to hear about rebuke and chastening of the Lord. Pastor, I like it. It helps me. Whenever you're preaching and you touch on something that God's been dealing with my heart about, it helps me. Because it not only lets my eye affect my heart, it lets my ears affect my heart. It lets the Word of God get into my heart, and I receive help. If you tune it out, if you're sitting here like you're lukewarm all the time and you're not looking to grow in the Lord, you're going to disregard His counsel. You're going to disregard the things that will help you. Proverbs 9 and 8 says, "Reprove not a scorner." Somebody who's like that all the time anyway, somebody's lost, it don't do you no good to reprove them. The Scripture says they're going to hate you anyway. They're going to hate you. Why? Because they're of the world. The world hates you. This is it, hated Jesus. And Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you too. You try to witness to somebody that's lost and they got a bad attitude anyway, and they don't want nothing to do with God. They're a scorner, in other words, rejecting Jesus Christ continuously. They're going to hate you. They're going to badmouth you. They're going to do things like that. He said, reprove them, but rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Aren't you glad sometimes that somebody says, hey, that's wrong, you don't need to be doing that? Just plain out tells you, but Todd, that's wrong, you don't need to be doing it. I need that sometimes. And if you want to be honest with yourself, you do too. It says, despise not the chastening, and not get weary of the correction. The Lord loveth as the Father loves the Son, whom He delight. He says, thy commandments is a lamp, and the law is as light, and reproof and instruction are the way of life to keep thee from evil. Those are all Proverbs of Solomon. And he wrote those things to let you know that, hey, if you serve God and you belong to Him, number one, He's got the right to correct you. You carry His name. Number two, He loves you enough to do it. Amen. Number three, it'll help you. Instruction in righteousness and correction. Those are things that will help you. I dealt with that. Those folks that say they have need of nothing. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need to take notice of these things, and I believe God sent me here tonight because maybe some of us is that way, and I know I've been this way, and I tell you, I like to be aware of my spiritual condition. But can you tell when you're that way? If you can't, you need some help. You need some help. You need this. You need to understand that He loves you. It's why He rebukes you and why He chastens you. So we got the source of this lukewarmness. The source of it is ourselves. We allow those things in. The churches that we mentioned earlier are in the shape they're in because they allow those things in. In other words, they compromise. There's another compromising church, I won't go back, but they compromise and allow the world to come in, and it cooled down the hotness, so those are lukewarm. There's no spirit there. Somebody told me the other day they went to a church service right up here, and I ain't going to call the name of the church or the name of the pastor, but they said he preached for almost an hour on gun control. Gun control's okay. You know, I don't believe in it. I believe we got the right to keep and bear arms, but that's not a Sunday morning message, gun control. You need to be preached about Jesus Christ, amen. The author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set down before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what happens. See, we get to looking at things. My eye affects my heart. We get to looking at things. We get to looking at everything going on in the world. Well, this will be okay. We can let that slide. But we need to be looking into Jesus. Looking into Him. Keep our eyes on Him. Look up and check up. Be aware of your spiritual condition. This is the last thing. That all hope is not lost. He gave us the counsel, and He told you why He gave you the counsel. He said, look, I love you. I'm going to rebuke you from time to time. I'm going to chasten you. In the last part of verse 19, he says, be zealous, therefore. In other words, be happy, be joyful, and hurry up, therefore, and repent. Repent of those things. You're going to sin. You're going to mess up from time to time. It's just a fact of life and the way it is because we're in this flesh. But he says, repent. Go ahead and repent. It's not a lost cause. 2 Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. That's his desire. That's his will. But it's not going to happen, and he needs that. But another thing he wants, and I believe he desires with all his heart, going on down to the next few verses, he wants the people that are in the church to get right with God. He don't want us to be lukewarm. And verse 20 proves that. He says, behold, and a lot of people take this the wrong way, and I believe it's this way. I may be wrong. He said, I stand at the door and knock. He's not standing at the door of the church knocking, because he is the door of the true church. He's standing at the door of your heart knocking. He says, I'm knocking. If you'll let me in, I'll come in and sup with you. I'll dine with you. I'll counsel you, and I'll clean you up. That's where he's at. A lot of folks has got Jesus on the outside looking in, but they can't see where they're at spiritually and won't allow him to come in. I beg you tonight, if you're in that condition, he said, if any hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and we'll sup with him, and he with me. That you got to understand where you're at. You spiritual. It's all not lost hope. Ecclesiastes verse 9, or chapter 9, says, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. In other words, if you're still breathing tonight, there's still hope. If you're lost, and you listen to this via the internet, World Wide Web, whatever they call it, if you're lost, there's still hope. If you're living, if you've not breathed your last breath, it says that for a living dog is better than a dead lion. I always like that verse of Scripture because I know I used to be a dog. Amen. I did. I was a dirty, nasty, old flea-infested dog. So Jesus cleaned me up. So there's hope for a living dog, no matter what condition that dog's in, as long as he's living. But a dead lion is useless. Says the living know that they shall die, but the dead knoweth not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Again he says, I know thy works, there when he opened up. But you know, if you look back at verse 14 starting this letter, and Pastor, I never did notice it till I got to reading it again and looking back at the others. Jesus didn't say nothing good about this church. Praise them with to start with. That's a reflection on the way we are today. He loves us. He's rebuking us. He's chasing us. And he wants us to repent. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank you for your help tonight. Lord, I know these are scattered thoughts and studies in my prayer time. Lord, but I pray that it help folks realize to understand the spiritual condition that we are individually in. Lord, each one is different. Lord, some of us are hot. Some, Lord, may be cold tonight. Lord God, my prayer is that you'd help us all. The ones that's lukewarm, Lord, that's just gotten comfortable in the position they're in. They've got complacent, Lord, with some of the things around the house of God. Lord, they're just kind of set at ease, and Lord, we know by your word here that's wrong. We can't compromise, Lord, and allow things into the house of God that don't belong there. We thank you that you correct us, Lord, and you counsel us over those things. You rebuke us, you chasten us. Lord, I thank you for that tonight. For those things make me realize, Lord, you love me. Lord, I pray you'd help us as we go about our work. Go about the things that we must do each day, Lord, to remember how you shed your precious blood on the cross of Calvary to take away the sins of the world. And now, Lord, you desire us to be holy, to be a zealous people, Lord, and bring forth good works. Lord, help us each day. Help us as we go about our separate ways. We love you, and we thank you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.